Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the Overtime Sports Show. This is your boy James, aka Hollywood J Black, live in the building once again. It's all the way Wednesday. Well, we're not all the way, but we're most of the way. We're not all the way there yet. But we're all the way past the NBA bubble. The NBA bubble is over. The playoffs are done. And we've crowned ourselves a new NBA champion, which is also an old NBA champion, the Los Angeles Lakers, the LeBron-led, AD-led Los Angeles Lakers. Now, the beginning of the season, they were the heads-on favorite. To me, they were the favorite. I didn't see a scenario, even with all the BS that that Max Kellerman would want to tell you, all the BS that Skip Bayless would want to tell you, all the BS that's throughout the league, okay? That they'll sit here and tell you that, oh, the Lakers had an easy path, the Lakers did this, LeBron had an easy path. And most of the focus has been taken off of the team game and been put on the onus of LeBron. And I want to take the beginning of this podcast to just kind of want to talk to you about this. Talk to the fans, the people, because I know the people. The people love when we have these conversations. I don't have my man Big Sin here. Big Sin's not too much into basketball, so that's fine. But we're going to have this conversation with the people, and you guys can decide whether in the comments, you know, in social media, whatever the case may be. Because I'll even take a snippet of the discussion, and then I'll go ahead and put it on Twitter, Facebook, all that jazz. So let's get right to it. Let's get to the big discussion. I've been scrolling down my social media. I've been scrolling down my Facebook. I've been scrolling everywhere. Scroll. And I've been sitting here watching the comments. Oh, you know, LeBron had an easy path. LeBron's air was soft. LeBron did this. LeBron did that. LeBron, blah, 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 blah. I'm here to tell you, if the entire world, if the entire situation is soft, right? Like, if we're gonna sit here and let's talk about this. Let's really dig deep into this one, okay? Because in order to call, if you're calling LeBron's situation soft, if you're calling LeBron's path to the playoffs soft, if you're calling the bubble soft, I think at that point, if we're going to say this, then we have to disregard everything that NCAA basketball means. And I'll tell you why. So in NCAA basketball, how many tournaments do they run in the preseason and then in the beginning of the season before we get on to that? And how many tournaments are ran in the postseason? All right. Now, and we have two sets of tournaments, the national championship and the NIT. Okay. We got that. That's fine. But then also, so let's say in those tournaments, yeah, people travel, but for the most part in the specific rounds, they sit there. They're there in one spot for a good set of 12, 15 games in one section of a round. When you look at it like that, so if we're going to disregard that, do we disregard all national championships, all the NCAA Final Fours and NCAA basketball? I thought everybody said that NCAA basketball, March Madness, was the pinnacle of basketball, but yet we want to sit here and disregard the bubble as actual basketball. So then people take away the fan aspect. And all right, fine. You'll take a point on that one, okay? But let's not act like that that the crowd noise isn't pumped in. Let's not act like there's fans not watching digitally on there. And I know that it's kind of deafening because I've been into a stadium. I played high school football. I know what it's like to play a rival, and that deafening sound is in your ear when they're just cheering massively, just like, you know, it's heavy and it's make or break. And if you make it, you make it. But if you break it, everybody knows and you let everybody down. I get that, okay? I'm fine with that. So you get your 1 point. But everything else? No, no, no. The NBA has changed to the point where we want to talk about Rajon Rondo. I think I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Scottie Pippen talking about Rajon Rondo hitting threes. Is it NBA basketball? Yes, it is. Because, listen, the NBA now requires guards to shoot. They require everybody to shoot. And if you ain't shooting, what the fuck you doing? Why do you think Pat Beverly is laughed at now? Because he can't shoot. Can't shoot the goddamn basketball, okay? He sits there and he'll defend like a motherfucker. Best, one of the best point guard defenders in the NBA right now, point blank, period. And yet and still his field goal percentage is absolute horrible monstrosity garbage. Yeah, I made up a bunch of fucking words, but you get my point. We want to sit here and twist the narrative depending on how you feel. And we gotta stop that. We gotta stop doing that. We don't need to be paying people to twist the narrative. Now that's not the point of this conversation, though. Because the bigger point of this conversation is LeBron James's legacy. One. The bigger point of this conversation is LeBron James the GOAT? Two. And the other bigger point of this conversation, three, is how did these playoffs compare to any other playoffs? And did these playoffs mean more or mean less because they were in the bubble? So I'm going to get to point one, which is the playoff competition, okay? So let's compare some playoff competition, all right? I'm going to go over, let's see, we'll take a look. Let me see. When did LeBron win that championship? I want it 2016 NBA season. Season standings. All right. So you ready for this one? 2016. This was the year that LeBron won the championship. That was a 73-9 squid odd. You know what I'm saying? Where they won. Okay. So the Pistons, the lowest seed were the Pistons, were 44-38. That was the Drummond Pistons, and they played I remember that. But then the lowest seed in the West was the Rockets, who were 41-41, okay? And they played the Warriors in the first round, all right? So we get that. All right, you know, it's fine. It's cool. Let's get to the 2020 standings, okay? Well, no, you know what? We'll go 16-17, okay? So we get the Warriors when they won the championship with Durant. Trailblazers 41-41 in the eighth seed. Your Eastern Conference seed with the Bulls at 41-41. Okay? All right, fine. Your 27-28 team, Timberwolves 47-35 as your eighth seed, and the Wizards were 43-39 as your eighth seed in the East. 2018-2019, the Pistons were 41-41 in the Western Conference. The Clippers were 48-34. So the gap is getting a lot larger. 1920, which is the year that we're in now. So we didn't get a chance to complete the season, but the bubble ended with the Magic being 33-40 as the AFC, with nobody close, not even in the Eastern Conference. And then we had probably the most tight-knit Western Conference, however, with the AFC being 35-39. Had we completed a whole entire season, there may not have been a team in the Western Conference, in the eighth seed. There might not have been an eighth seed with a positive record. That's the scenario that we are actually looking at here. Because let's be honest with ourselves. Nurkic didn't come back until late February, early March. So we don't know how the Blazers would have ended up. We don't know how the Grizzlies, with all this rest, would have ended up. We don't know how the Suns would have ended up, nor the Spurs. But if they're at 39 losses, 39 losses, 39 losses, 39 losses, the Pelicans had 42, the Kings had 41. Feasibly, in a grand scenario, feasibly, we could have said that the Western Conference actually got weaker when this year than any other year. It just so happens to be LeBron's second year. So the question then we have to ask ourselves now is, how big of a deal is LeBron and the Lakers being successful in the Western Conference was as compared to regular season? So the season in and of itself, and then we get into the playoffs, and then we get to where we're at, okay? Everybody thought that the Bucks were going to run away with it. The Bucks were the best team in the playoffs, and then the Bucks had to fuck around and run into the buzzsaw that was the Miami Heat. For months, I've been telling you that the Miami Heat were the best team in the Eastern Conference, and everybody failed to listen. I said the Heat at full strength are more stout, they're better, and deserve the number one seed because they actually beat everyone, with the exception of the Lakers. I think that's the only team in the regular season that they didn't beat. But when you look at it in that scenario, okay, when you present yourself with these facts and you say, yo, actually understand what's going on. The Bucks and the Raptors, okay? So Raptors and Celtics canceled themselves out. Bucks and Heat dealt with the Bucks. So then the biggest team that took the biggest step back was the Sixers because they lost Ben Simmons. The Nets actually overachieved and really shouldn't have been in the playoffs this year. And they got in with the number 7 seed with a 35-32nd-7 record. And I think they played really good basketball. LeVert and Dinwiddie were a really unstoppable team. But they really overachieved. On paper, you were like, nah, this shit ain't going to work. But Joe Harris, Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, and all them cats, they took a team full of scrubs and brought them to the playoffs. The Magic overachieved by beating the Bucks once. They did. I ain't going to sit here and lie to you. They overachieved. But at that point, there really was nobody else. The Hornets, I wish, would have made the playoffs. Because their young squad looked good. But nobody else. No Cavs, no Hawks, no Pistons, no Knicks, no Bulls, no Hornets, no Wizards. That wasn't going to happen. So when they did the playoffs, it was all about seeding. But in the Western Conference, there was legitimate, what is it? We're talking about 13 teams in the running up until the last few games. 13 actual whole teams were trying to get a playoff spot. And you want to sit here and tell me that they, you know, that the West competition wasn't bad? 13 teams. 13 fucking teams. And 13 teams, and I said, and I even told you that out of all the teams, that the Trailblazers are probably going to give the Lakers the best run for their money, although I did want to see the Trailblazers Clippers. I did want to see that one. That one, listen. The Western Conference is a lot better than the Eastern Conference. We are actually, I mean, we're in a renaissance where there's something's got to change now. And when I say a renaissance, not a good renaissance where everything looks hunky dory and everybody's fine. No, we're in a really shitty part of a renaissance where something's got to change the Eastern Conference. New kind of power structure. And because with 13 teams all vying for a playoff spot, and all in the last six teams actually had a legitimate chance to bring LeBron a run for his money, and none of that happened, and LeBron still dominated. LeBron and AD. Man, listen, that's what it is. And then they went through after that, they went through the Rockets, which, you know, they had to play Rockets basketball in order to beat the Rockets, and they beat the Rockets at their own game. Okay. Even a Russell Westbrook appearance did not stop the Lakers from going through. Because, listen, the weakest part about the Lakers was the fact that their point guard situation. The strongest part about the Rockets was their point guard situation, because if you didn't have Harden carrying the ball, you had to deal with Westbrook. And if you didn't have Westbrook to deal with, you had to deal with Harden. And you see how that goes? And they still were able to achieve it, which then brings us to the Nuggets. So what I find hilarious about all this, the Nuggets talk and how they should have been able to compete. Understand that the Nuggets beat the brakes off the Lakers a couple times in the season. Let me see. If I remember correctly, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I said Lakers versus Nuggets regular season. Okay. So let's go here. Oh, we'll go back. We'll go back. Hold on, give me some time here. We're working with a little slow. We're a little slow. My bad. Just chill. Just gonna be all right. So it was a couple times. So we had the December games where, okay, I won't say beat the brakes. So we had three close victories by the Lakers. Three close ones, like 4 points. 3 points, 4 points. But when the Nuggets were at full strength, when they played them in December, the Nuggets beat the brakes off the Lakers 128-104. The Nuggets, the Lakers never forgot that loss, but they barely beat them. They, you know what I'm saying? So we can't just sit here and say that Denver was a scrub team. They're not. Denver was gassed out after going two straight seven-game series. There we go. They were gassed out. And you know what happens when you get gassed out? Ask Jimmy Butler when we got to these finals, okay? When we got to game six, okay, after the Jimmy Butler masterful 47-minute performance, what really should have happened at the end of that, at the end of that day, in that series, what literally should have happened is that the young cats, as with Dragic and them, should have carried and uplifted your boy Jimmy Butler and brought him to the promised land. The problem is that they couldn't. They didn't have the experience to. When you're going against somebody like LeBron and you're going against somebody like AD, and then the veteran savviness of Dwight Howard, you know what I'm saying? Like, if Danny Green hadn't showed up, maybe it would have been different. I don't know. But the reality of the situation is Jimmy Butler needed to ease back and let his teammates carry him into game seven, and they couldn't. It was too young. The Lakers were too old, too experienced. And then when you got the best player on the planet, that's just how it goes. Which leads me into the second part. Now, LeBron's legacy. Now, I know I've given LeBron a lot of shit. But I give LeBron a lot of shit because LeBron, I was a huge, huge LeBron James fan. I love the story. The NBA sold me on a story where I see this kid from Ohio, and he's just dominant. And he's bigger, he's stronger, he's faster, he's badder than everyone. He could probably play a multitude of sports if he wanted to, right? That's what we're working with. He probably could have played wide receiver. I think he even showed that he had wide receiver skill at some point. You see this kid come from the hood in Akron, Ohio. Just a kid from Akron. And you see him, and you're like, wow, this is a big-ass dude. And I think this big-ass dude, with his height and his strength and his humbleness. At the time, yes, they called him the king, but he was as humble as can be at the time. People tried to gas him up at the time, but as young as he was, as humble as he can be, okay? You just look at him. You say, you know what? I want to be just like this dude. I want to be like LeBron, you know? And you just see it and you're like, and then you see him play basketball. And you see he just drives into the rim and he dunks and he slams and he has a nice little mid-range jumper. But he just bullies his way like nothing in the world would ever stop him. And then he leaves. He leaves Cleveland, goes to the Heat, which at the time, I understood. Because the ownership was basically saying, we can't get nobody here to Cleveland, dog. Or at least not making a good pitch to get anybody here to Cleveland. And so he just got stomped out by the Lakers. I mean, the Lakers. He got stomped out by the Celtics, Pistons, Bulls at the time, Derrick Rose and all them cats. And he just said, you know what, cuz, I just had enough. If my ownership ain't going to do nothing, I'm a free agent. Let me find out who's going to do what's best for me. And then he goes to Miami. And he talks to my boy, Pat Riley. I love Pat Riley. I think as far as coaches go, everybody loves Phil Jackson as a coach. No, coaches like Pat Riley do it for me. Because Pat Riley is the no-nonsense type of dude, and his plans work. He won a championship 4 years ago prior with D-Wade and Shaq and Sean Marion and Jay Will, and he made a squad that was, you know, they won. So he goes to Miami. And I was like, you know what? I'm cool with him going to Miami. If the ownership gets their shit together, I'm happy with it. I am golden. So he gets there to Miami. In the first year, I was like, I wouldn't want to promise no championship in the first year because this team has to gel. Then they ran into the buzzsaw that is the Dallas Mavericks. Everybody wants to talk about J.J. Barea beating the brakes off of him and all that jazz. But we're not talking about, like, the big thing. Like, we're not talking about how Dirk Nowitzki was a better power forward than Chris Bosh. We're not talking about Sean Marion was actually there winning out there winning the championship and doing what he does. The Dallas Mavericks team had a really, 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 really good veteran squad. And so I think people forget about that. I think people forget that the Dallas 2011 Mavericks team had about four or five Hall of Famers on it. Like we don't sit here and BS, and they don't. But they did. They had a bunch of Hall of Famers. So they ran into the team with a bunch of Hall of Famers, and what do you think happened? They won. That's what happened. And then we flipped side the next year. The Mavericks got old, and LeBron's team ran into Oklahoma City Thunder, stomped them out. Young Kevin Durant, young Harden, young Westbrook. Sorry, Sia wouldn't want to be it. It just is what it is. And then we get to the Spurs series. The Spurs series really helped kind of let LeBron grow up. And, you know, they won that. But then the second series, when they lacked the defensive depth and the luck that they had previously, they ended up losing, which is bound to happen. It's rare you beat the same team in the finals twice. Let me turn this down for a second. Let me record something for the snappy chats. You know what I'm saying? Let me reduce. Sorry. My bad. I didn't want to disturb you. So we throw that on there. Okay. So now when you look at it from that perspective, you're like, okay. So we have to sit here. And I would think to myself that at that time, LeBron would want to retool up. And then the rumors happen. And the rumors start dwelling, and they start swelling, and they start getting up. And then they say, you know, LeBron might just return home. There's been some conversations. I think what ended up happening at that point is that LeBron saw that they drafted Andrew Wiggins. LeBron saw that they had Kyrie Irving. And this is with no Kevin Love. No, Kevin Love, at that time, was not involved in any conversation. I think LeBron said, you know what? Me and Kyrie can be Batman and Superman. Me and Kyrie can do what we need to do. There's Tristan Thompson there. He's newly there. We might be able to do something. They might got some young cats on here. We might be able to make this happen. And so, boom. Would you rather see what you can do in Miami and see if we can finish this out? Wondering about Chris Bosh's health and wonder if he's gonna be okay. Maybe that was on his mind. Maybe LeBron knew before we knew about Chris Bosh. Maybe LeBron knew before we knew how bad D-Wade's knees were. And we, at some point, you just said, you know, I don't think we're going to win another one in Miami. I think these two, that's it. That's a wrap. But I didn't know this at the time. And I'm just like, dude, you bouncing back to Cleveland to try and win this, you know, the story and shit. Okay. I get it. Okay, fine. We're gonna deal with it. I don't like the team bouncing and shit, but you do owe Cleveland, and so that's what he did. He went back to Cleveland. Then I think what then got me was the fact that he traded Andrew Wiggins for Kevin Love. And I'm just like, LeBron, dude, you had an understudy that could have taken the pressure off of you. You had this dude that was willing to make it work with you. Everybody forgets about Andrew Wiggins. Everybody calls him soft, and everybody says this, and everybody says that. Andrew Wiggins, to me, is not a superstar. He's more than a role player as long as you put him in the right position. He's a better Harrison Barnes, a healthier Harrison Barnes, which is probably why he's in the Warriors right now. But we'll get to that in a second. But we have LeBron. He goes back home. He trades Andrew Wiggins and a bunch of pieces. And let's not act like it was the GM. LeBron traded all them cats for Kevin Love. He comes in. And then once he gets towards the playoffs, all the pieces start falling apart. It's just LeBron. And I'm pretty sure I had to bring like LeBron versus OKC. They would have won. LeBron would have won the championship, okay? But they ran into a really young, really hungry, really well-coached, really stable squad that was put together by Mark Jackson but perfected by Steve Kerr. And, yes, that is on wax, and you will hear me say that. Forget what you heard. Mark Jackson couldn't get the job done. It didn't change a goddamn thing. They put Steve Kerr on the team, and they win a championship because they became a better team. Steve Kerr comes in, helps the Warriors win the championship. Then LeBron proceeds to say, you know what? We got to get a little bit deeper. Let's work on this bench a little bit, you know? So then helps build the team a little bit better, a little bit more of a squad. 73-9 Warriors come storming through. And my problem with 70, you know, my problem with the 73-9 Warriors is not the fact that we lost in seven games. We lost, we blew a 3-1 lead. That's not even, you know, remotely why I'm upset. If we're going to talk about why I'm upset about that year, is that we didn't need it. As a Warriors fan, we didn't need to go 73-9. I would have preferred we actually rest some people and not chase the record. That way, when we got to the goddamn playoffs, we would have had everybody. Or at least most, we would have had everybody healthy and not with so much mileage. If you look back at the season, Draymond, Klay, and Steph played probably some of the most minutes in this season outside of LeBron James and Kevin Durant. So then we get to that stage. We get to that point. And LeBron puts on history. Brings the title home to Cleveland at the expense of my 73-9 Warriors. And I say, you know, I left a sour taste in my mouth. Maybe at that point I was also upset with LeBron. I'll admit a couple things. Maybe because personal pride, one. And, you know, two, it's just, everybody just wants to make this man the king. So then we get into we get into the next two seasons where they sign Kevin Durant, Cavs come in, get knocked out. So, seven Durant the sixth season, Cavs come in, get knocked out. Warriors win two straight. So effectively, the strategy, and I always use this phrase, the chickens come home to roost, right? Effectively, the strategy that LeBron tried to use in both Cleveland and in Miami, where get top five players. There's no doubt Kyrie was top 10 players. Kevin Love at that time, top five. But when you get to that point, and you're just like, now the chickens have come on the roost. The Warriors did not play your game specifically, but they got Kevin Durant and were already a 73-9 team, already the best team in the NBA. They come in and stomp your shit out. If you're wondering what I'm doing, podcast people, I'm shrugging. What could LeBron do? You can't. Yes, you could probably say that, that it wasn't fixed. And it wasn't fixed. Listen, Kyrie downgraded, Kevin Love downgraded, and the Cavaliers weren't what they were. So now you look at it, and you sit here, and you're LeBron James, and you're like, you know, I brought Cleveland the championship. I got to Cleveland in the finals 4 years in a row. So we got a championship, so we're not the Buffalo Bills. What more can I do for the city of Cleveland? Nothing. You brought them a championship. What can you do? So what do you want to do, LeBron? You know, LeBron probably just sat there, you know. I want to open my school, but I want to make a bigger impact. And you got my boy, is Rich Paul. If we can get set up in Hollywood and we can do this and we can do that and we can make some moves, we might be able to do something. So then the talks happen. LeBron goes to Hollywood, goes to the Lakers. First season, rough injuries, all that. Playoff mode deactivated very quickly after trying to be activated. And then they had the opportunity for AD. AD, top three player in the NBA, might even make a case that he's better than LeBron, given if you factor in age and skill set. I could make a really, really, really good argument. For the most part, I might be wrong, but I could make a really good argument that AD is the best player in the NBA. Because who at his size, with his skill set, can do what he do? Nobody. There's literally nobody. And he shoots a better three ball than LeBron James ever has. There's nobody faster. There's nobody stronger. There's nobody faster. There's nobody that clears more space on the fast break than Anthony Davis. LeBron sees this, forms a team with Anthony Davis, tries to get Kawhi. Kawhi wants to form his own team in L.A. Well, we know now who won that round. Obviously, we now know this is LeBron's. It's King Town. LA is King Town. So his legacy, how does this affect his legacy? I know that we did a long, drawn out 10, 15 minute thing. So how does this affect his legacy? People are going to ask. And I think that reality is this. So you have three things I want you to consider. He took a above average Cavaliers team to the playoffs, to the finals four times in a row. There's not a lot of people that can say that outside of Bill Russell. But Bill Russell and Bob Cousy and them boys were bad. Most dominant small forward in the NBA, in NBA history by a mile. Because past, present, and future, outside of the three ball, there's nobody that can do what LeBron James does. There's nobody that can create his own shot and force his way and impose his will like LeBron James does at the small forward position. At the center position, you had Shaq and you had Kareem and you had Hakeem, and then that's it. Nobody does it like he does at the small forward position. He then had to switch positions to become a point guard this year because they had AD in the way that they managed their roster. They dealt with a coach, Frank Vogel, who's a defensive mastermind. It brought them a championship, okay? So now we get to the point where, so what does this all mean? What did all these words I just spoke mean? I think it's, I won't call him a GOAT. He could be the king, but I can't call him a GOAT. Michael Jordan, as we all know, is the GOAT. And Michael Jordan is not only the GOAT for what he did on the court, but his post-career investments and the establishment of the brand and doing what he does is really establishing him as the GOAT. I think eventually LeBron wants to follow the path that Jordan does and get it and become team owner. Hell, if this keeps going the way that this goes, LeBron might just end up owning the Cleveland Cavaliers. And wouldn't that be something, right? So as far as where he's at, LeBron is easily, very easily top five of all time. I don't think that's even the case. He means more to the game of basketball now than ever. And more importantly, as just a regular kid that just played basketball, he means a lot to little kids and other kids that want to play basketball, want to be just like him. LeBron secured the bag and brought his whole family up. Jordan didn't even do that. Jordan's still the GOAT, though. But LeBron, that's what it is. So now we want to talk about the bubble and how bubble playoffs and then how all this kind of entails and, you know, what the bubble playoffs matter. Yes, they goddamn right they fucking mattered. They mattered for a lot of reasons. America needed basketball, regardless of whether you watched or not, probably because of football, probably because of hockey. I don't give a fuck. But America needed this. America needed this. The players needed this. And more importantly, given what the news that just came out is that the NBA tested all their players, locked everybody in the bubble, and had zero positive COVID cases. They ran the NBA. Adam Silver ran the NBA better than Donald Trump is running the government. Okay? How is an NBA commissioner, not even like the owner or the whatever, he's running this. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you exactly why that's being run better than the government. Because then you want to say, oh, you know, the government, Trump has 50 other states and all the other bullshit to deal with. Yes, but Donald Trump is also conflicting with damn near half of them. Alienates just half the people there. Adam Silver said, we need to do this shit, and we need to figure out a way to get this shit together. We need to rally everybody around and make this shit happen. There's 30 owners. 30 owners in the NBA. Okay? So we had, what'd I say? 13 teams that were playoff ready in the West, and then nine that were ready in the East. So 23 teams, you know, whatever. Okay. They all had a say in this. 12 to 15 players per team. That's over 300 and some players. 345 players? 344 players? All had to agree to this. Staff, union, ever since. They had to all agree to this. That's over 500 player personnel, and that's not counting the staff. The diligent staff over at the Disney bubble, at the ESPN Wide World of Sports. That's not counting the staff. That's the corporate people over there. So that's over 500 some people. The Congress has 535 people in it, and none of them can get along. And yet, here we go. Here we are. Adam Silver says, and LeBron James says, you know, we got to do this. We got to do this for basketball. We know the struggle. We got to send a message. We got to do this. We're going to do it. We're going to do it for y'all. Y'all want to put the message on your jerseys? Put the fucking message on your jerseys. Represent what the fuck that we doing. Repre-fucking-zent, because that's what fucking matters. And you know what? They did it. No positive caves, no BS outside the Daniel House bullshit and the chick that gave everybody for the Phoenix Suns blowjobs. And still no COVID. We had masseuses and strippers and Instagram models in the spot. And we had no COVID cases. That's how you do it. Adam Silver's the man. I want Adam Silver as my president. Fuck it, because at least he knows how to run it. At least he's being fair. That's why the bubble was important, because it shows you and it shows everyone that if we all come together, that if we all actually do what we're the fuck we're supposed to do, adhere to the mask bullshit, social distancing, all that shit, adhere to the fucking plan. We adhere to the fucking plan and we fucking did it. What more can you fucking ask for? What more? What is there left? 500 some people agreed on exactly what the fuck needed to be done. Everybody implemented that shit. No positive cases. We didn't shut down for no medical related shit. We only shut down because motherfuckers need to stop killing black folks. But that's another podcast for another fucking day. Police need to stop killing black folks. And you look into my eyes when I say this. Police need to stop killing black folks. And that's the only time that this shit shut down. And we still pulled it off. The NBA still pulled off a season and crowned a goddamn champion. So if the NBA can do that in all its infinite glory and all everything that could have gone wrong, because things have gone wrong. Major League Baseball had to shut down some shit. The St. Louis Cardinals had to shut down a bunch of shit, okay? Shit can go wrong. NFL, we've already seen we're in the midst of an NFL shit where the NFL might have to come close to shutting down the fucking season. College just announced the Florida Gators might have to shut down their season because of all these damn positive COVID cases. Vanderbilt couldn't field the whole fucking team. Arrogance is going to get you guys killed. And again, this is why this is important. Amongst anything else. And I know, you're like, oh, I might be getting hyped here, and I'm sorry, okay? This is very personal to me. It's very, very, very deep. But the fact of the matter is that if we could all get our heads together, if we could follow the NBA's example of doing what needs to be done, then we wouldn't be stuck where we are. That's why the bubble was important, because it shows that unity, UNITY, is more important than any politics, any Trumps or Bidens or Pelosi's or McConnell's or whatever the fuck. More important than that. If the NBA can do it, why can't we? We need to all come together as a people. This NBA example was perfect. And I think that this season, more important than ever, was solidifies LeBron James as king status, cements his legacy as easily as one of the greatest of all time. Not the GOAT, a GOAT, probably. Mount Rushmore. I'd put... if you want me to put a thing right there, you say Bill Russell was the first king, Kareem, Bird. I can't have four. See, that's weird. See, that's why you can't have four space. You need like six. Because the NBA is so, because you would never put a modern president on Mount Rushmore. So it's difficult to do something like that. Okay. Not Rushmore's for founding fathers. But if you're going to do GOATs, NBA GOATs, you have to think three things. You have to think longevity. You have to think what they meant to basketball. Bill Russell, first NBA champion, first GOAT, also first man to ever coach his own team. He has to go on there. Some people would put Kareem. Kareem is best center. You know, So if we're going to do Founding Fathers and we're not, then we can't put, if you want to put Founding Fathers, then we can't put modern players. So that automatically, you'd have to take out Kobe and LeBron. They can't be in that conversation. It would simply go, I just said, Bill Russell, Kareem, Bird, and actually, no. Yeah. Russell, Kareem, Bird, and Jordan. That's it. And I know a lot of people are going to be like, well, what about Magic? What about Will? Russell, Kareem, Bird, and Jordan. I'll say it again for you small-time Negroes. You small-time people. Russell, Kareem, Bird, Jordan. That's it. We don't. We're going to have to leave it at that. Somebody's got to get left out. If it wasn't for Jordan, we wouldn't even have basketball right now. Not in the form, not in the NBA form, and not in its old glory that it is now. Jordan has to be on there. When I know Bird is probably the guy that probably made it cool for white guys to play basketball. Because listen, every time I see a white guy play basketball in the 80s, they look like the type of white guy that would roll the fattest blunt with you in the 70s. Or they look like they know how to rip up and tear down an 87 Camaro Z28. Larry Bird looked like a country boy, skinny country boy, but with a mustache, he didn't take shit from absolutely fucking no one. He talked shit like he was black. He drained that jumper like he was nothing. He'll dunk it on your ass like he was black too. He played a whole game with his left hand because his right hand was broken. Bird has to be on there. So then you're probably going to be like, well, why Kareem over Will? Yes. Will said he fucked 100,000 women. He scored 100 points in a game. But Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, also known as the notorious Lou Alcindor, will tell, and the people will tell you that he was the most dominant center in the NBA, that Kareem Skyhook was absolutely bonkers, fucking unstoppable. The Celtics, Bill Russell, as a team and as a coach, dominated Wilt for the first part before Bill Russell decided to retire. So then we have that. But Russell, again, not only played the game and won championships, he coached his team. When Red Auerbach could not coach, he coached his team and won. Why? So again, and Jordan is self-explanatory, people. Self-explanatory. Russell, Kareem, Bird, Jordan. There's your Mount Rushmore. Now, if we're gonna come up with a new route, Mount Rushmore, we're gonna make the cutoff at Jordan. And you say, you know what? We need a modern day NBA Mount Rushmore. Post-Jordan Mount Rushmore. That's easy. That's easy. You got to throw Jordan and Kobe on there. Just slap them right on there. Boom, boom. And then if you really want to really go there, matter of fact, I'll even throw two more in there. I'll make it really, really easier for you. Shaq, boom. So now who goes in that fourth place? The sad part about it is that we're really lacking point guard goats. Allen Iverson was a shooting guard. He wasn't a point guard. So then we have to take a look at what's left. Point guards? No. Shooting guards? No. Vince Carter was still probably one of the most dominant point guards. I mean, shooting guards in the NBA, but he played small forward too. He played a lot of small forward. Can't even say that. So then the next person is Duncan, Tim Duncan. So if we're gonna have ourselves a modern era, GOAT Mount Rushmore. Duncan, LeBron, Kobe. Who else I said? LeBron, Shaq. LeBron, Duncan, Kobe, and Shaq. There you go. That's your modern era, Mount Rushmore. That's who took what Jordan did to help the NBA excel into greater heights. And that's it. That's where LeBron's legacy is. He's in a modern Mount Rushmore. Can't be on the old Mount Rushmore. Modern Mount Rushmore. That's what he means to the basketball right now. And folks, reality is that we're gonna miss the day that he's gone. I know everybody says, we're better off without him. No, we're not actually. We're really not better off without him at all. The NBA is in a different place where shooting matters and everybody wants to drain a 30-foot three-point shot, and that's fine. But who outside of, let me see, I say Dame Lillard is one, but that he's not consistent with it. And when I say, what I'm about to say, the category I'm saying is who really can impose their will to win basketball games? I've seen Jimmy Butler do it. Not as often as LeBron has, though. But I've seen Jimmy Butler do it. And I've seen Dame Lillard do it. Like, when you need a win, and you're probably down by a few, you're down by, like, 10, and somebody needs to impose their will to win, I've seen Jimmy Buckets do it. I've seen Lillard do it. But I've never seen somebody do it as consistently, as diligently, and as hardcore as LeBron James. Hands down, point blank, period. Not in the modern era. In the previous era, Jordan would never let you get down 10 points. Jordan would be cussing you out and calling you all types of sons of bitches on the bench. You guys all suck. I'm going for 69. Fuck you. Okay? But nobody is consistent and imposes their will like LeBron James does. Not even Kawhi, okay? Kawhi can impose his defensive will. They'll shut you down. They'll shut you the fuck down. But not his offensive will. But there's not a lot of 6'7", 265-pound guys that, can also run a 4'4", 5'40", and run like a goddamn gazelle. That shit's all fucked up. It's because I'm fat. Sorry, I'm a fat guy wearing an Under Armour shirt. You're just going to have to deal with it, TV people. But all jokes aside. So take this season, everything that we had. Appreciate what basketball gave us. And understand that there's never going to be another LeBron James. Off and on the court, there's never going to be. So appreciate him while you can, because when he's gone, that's it. That's all we got, y'all. I don't think anybody's ready to take that mantle in the NBA. Not yet. I don't think there is. All right. So the big ass MF and NBA portion of our show is done. We gotta pay some bills, y'all. Pay the bills. All right, and after you've listened to that ad, I just want to let you guys know that Sinful Black Overtime Sports Show is being sponsored by a Dead Chicks Boutique all October. She wants to pay the bills. She said we let her. So she paid the bill. But she said, you know what? I'm going to sweeten the pot a little bit, y'all. So every time that you go to Dead Chicks Boutique and enter Sinful Black, that's SYNFULBLAQ, ENT, 10% off. Cash it. Cash it. We're here. This is my ad. I suck at advertising, okay? I just tell you, go to the website, Etsy.com. See the shit. All right, so for the people that are watching this video, you see this shit scrolling. You see this shit? Okay. But make sure you go to Etsy. If you're listening, it's etsy.com/shop/dead CHIIKS boutique and enter Sinful Black Entertainment for 10% off. Get your spooky shit on. It's Halloween. I like spooky shit. I hope you do too. Get your spooky shit. You know what I mean? Yo, get it. All right. So now that we talked about the spooky shit, now let's really, 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 really get into it. Now let's really get into this, some NFL. We're going to talk about some MLB in a little bit. Stick around for the NFL, though. Actually, no, stick around for the MLB. I suck at it, but listen, I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to talk shit because I have a stake in this thing still now. The Atlanta Braves are still in it. They're up 2-0. But we'll get to that. This is NFL. We got to do our fallout show. I don't have the records of me and Big Sin. Big Sin, we're going to talk about in the NFL right now, okay? Let me see. NFL. So I finally finished up. We had our last game of the week just yesterday. So that's why I'm doing this shit today. That sucks. Le'Veon Bell got released. That's not the sucky part. Melvin Gordon actually got charged with a DUI this morning. I just found that out. Holy shit. That's going to be a rough one. Sorry for your boy. Sorry about your damn luck. Oh, shit. All right, so let's go to week 5. So we had Thursday night game. We talked about Thursday night game in the NFL rundown. I'm not going to bore you with that shit. We had the Panthers beating the Falcons 23-16. So the Christian McCaffrey-less Falcons. Yes, the Christian McCaffrey-less Panthers beat the Falcons. What did I tell y'all before? What did Hollywood say was going to happen if the Panthers beat the Falcons? What did I say? I want y'all to – y'all know what I said. Dan Quinn was going to get fired. What happened? Dan Quinn and the GM got fired. I wouldn't even blame the GM. He did bring actually some decent talent in there, but they sucked. They sucked this year. That's just what it is. Teddy Bridgewater, they ain't no excuse. Oh, why any of that should happen? No excuse. No excuse at all. The Ravens beat the Bengals 27-3. Kind of figured that was going to happen. Texans beat the Jaguars 30-14. I didn't see that one coming. The Raiders beating the Chiefs 40-32, which was their first win at Arrowhead since 2012. It's been 8 years, and the Raiders beat the Chiefs on the road. And I think I had said something that maybe interesting that the Raiders beat the Chiefs on the road, and it did. Maybe a little bit of foreshadowing. As we all predicted, the Cardinals mollywhopping the Jets 30-10. Steelers beating the Eagles, staying undefeated, 38-29. The Rams beat the football team, 30-10. Dolphins beat the 49ers. Mollywop my squad, 43-17. We ain't got nobody on defense. Nobody. The football team, they got problems. They have Alex Smith out there, and he wasn't ready. Didn't play no first team stat. Didn't even get hit in practice. And he did what he could, but not against this Rams team. The first game back from a horrific leg injury 2 years ago, the last place you want to be is going against Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. And that's exactly what happened. Pittsburgh is 4-0 for the first time since 1979. And I'm going to want to touch on that one. The Steelers are on a roll. I said Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers. Because of the way of what's happening with COVID and shit, the Steelers might be the only team that really has a legitimate shot to win a Super Bowl this year. Because they're a complete team. They've been together for a while. But we got to see how they deal with the Ravens. That's kind of where that goes. Cardinals looking like, I don't want to say a legitimate playoff team. Had they beat the brakes off the Jets like 40-10, then I would have said, yeah. But that loss in Detroit last week was very humbling for them. Niners, we have no defense. We have no players. That's just is what it is. The Browns beating the Colts I kind of predicted that that might happen, but I was like, oh, no. The Cowboys beating the Giants, that Dak Prescott, ooh, that injury was horrible. But listen, Andy Dalton playing for an NFL contract, yo. If he can get the Cowboys to the playoffs, he just might. I think, see, the offense is built. Listen, Dak Prescott's a hell of a quarterback. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Dak isn't, okay? If they have to rely on Dak's arm, if a team has to rely on Dak Prescott's arm, they can. Here's the kicker. Matt, what is this? I don't remember the coach. The former coach of the Packers, Mike McCarthy. There you go. McCarthy is not a guy that uses running backs, which is probably why they are where they are. But the Cowboys, yeah, the Cowboys are, you know. Cowboys beat the Giants. It is what it is. Hold on, give me a second. Let me see. Just making a response. Sorry, somebody's inquiring. All right, so now back to business. I ain't got to downplay around. What is this? Fucked up my whole shit. Let me go back to my shit. My bad. So I wasn't. Andy Dalton has a shot. Andy Dalton has a legitimate shot to get a big ass contract. Now there are going to be a couple teams vying for a quarterback. Probably the Cowboys, if Dak Prescott feels that he got did wrong. Because listen. As a 49ers fan, and I know everybody's going to be like, oh, it's Dak Prescott, and blah, 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 blah. Listen, real shit, real talk. Take the pressure off of Dak Prescott and put it on somebody else. This actually might – the Niners might actually be a really good spot for Dak Prescott. Also, the Lions might be a really good spot for Dak Prescott. The Giants might end up being a spot for Dak Prescott. The Vikings are probably not going to play this Kirk Cousins game. Might be a really good spot for Dak Prescott. The Saints are going to be probably looking for a quarterback next year if they don't give the reins to Jameis Winston. Broncos, it depends on what happens with Drew Locke. Depends on what happens with the Patriots. Dak Prescott might be good too. There are going to be a lot of teams vying for Dak Prescott's services. Subsequently, if Andy Dalton gets the Cowboys to the playoffs, a lot of teams are going to be vying for Andy Dalton's services. Should be real interesting come this offseason. Seahawks barely get past the Vikings. I know. I predict the Seahawks to win. I'm really shocked that it was that close. And their top performers didn't even perform that well. Well, that's weird. That's a weird. What else we have here? Oh, the Saints struggling against the Chargers at home. How, Sway? I don't know. That don't sound right. I mean, they did win, but they struggled a little bit. That was a rough one. And then last but not least, the Titans mollywopped the Bills 42-16. I did not see that one coming. I thought the Bills were going to win. Titans, however, sometimes you just got to trust Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. That's what we got for the NFL. Again, shout out to Tampa Bay Lightning for winning the championship, NHL championship. Big shout out by my boy Aaron Grossi. That's my boy squad. So shout out to them. Well, but we're looking at something him and a head. So we are actually possibly halfway looking at a possible Atlanta Tampa Bay Devil Rays World Series. Atlanta being back in the World Series for the first time in a while. Tampa Bay's up on Houston 3-0. And that's this whole thing's just threw off everything. I, for one, will be excited for an Atlanta-Tampa Bay World Series. That means it's pretty much a regional World Series for the most part. And yeah. Yeah. Should be fun. I'm with it. In Atlanta, you know, your boy Freeman? Freeman is a killer. Acuna is a killer. Ozuna is a killer. Tampa Bay, I'm just looking at this. This is just masterwork. Ooh. I might just have to watch these games tonight. This is real getting popping, baby. Popping. If we get a Tampa Bay Atlanta World Series, I'm here for it. Listen, I am definitely here for the bullshit. Count me fucking in. All right, now. That's it. That's all I got for you, y'all. I know it's supposed to be more entertaining, but I'm not. I'm sorry. I'm not entertaining. Bullshit. Well, that's all we got. So, catch me Saturday live for the NFL Rundown Week 6 with my man Big Sin. That's going to be on the podcast. That's going to be on a separate podcast as well. Catch us live. But until next time, thank you for watching the Overtime Sports Show. Make sure you tell your friends about the show. I love to have fun. And if we get enough people that love it, I'm going to do it live. We're going to have some real fun. But until next time, this is your boy Hollywood J. Black signing off. We out this thing. Deuces.